Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Andrew Johnson of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. We should keep pointing out, though, that Jim is the author of The Weed Agency, and you can buy that online or at fine bookstores anywhere. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for you, as usual. Andrew, and we start with potentially the good here. There's been a lot of wrangling up on Capitol Hill, particularly in the 2 months and change since the Veterans Affairs scandals broke, and we found out not only that veterans were not getting to see doctors within 14 days as they were supposed to, but in some cases months and months or even years, veterans dying before they could actually get any sort of legitimate care, multiple sets of books to make it look like they were getting seen by doctors to make things look better. Anyway, Senator Bernie Sanders is the chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. Florida Congressman Jeff Miller has that distinction in the House. They have come together on a $15 billion agreement, according to Politico, to reform the Department of Veterans Affairs. The legislation, which is set to be unveiled today, will give the VA secretary broad new authority to fire or demote senior officials accused of mismanagement and will create a system where veterans can seek private care if VA doctors are unable to treat the patients within 14 days. The deal will allocate $5 billion to hire new doctors and nurses and removes bureaucratic barriers that slowed hiring so the VA can quickly fill medical vacancies. So, Andrew, it certainly seems that some of the biggest conservative priorities here, the option for private care if you can't get in right away, and the power to fire bureaucrats who aren't getting the job done, are two big conservative wins here. Of course, the $15 billion price tag is going to get looked at pretty carefully, too.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think this is a step in the right direction, and price tag is always going to be an issue, and so we'll have to see how that goes. It's not too surprising since Bernie Sanders' original Senate bill was going to be pretty costly anyway, and just sort of coming from his, I guess, political orientation, you're going to figure that that was going to kind of be a solution to what he was looking for anyway. But as far as sort of fixes to the problem that conservatives were looking for, you have to be at least pretty happy with what we're seeing right now. Problem was, and they've had all these different hearings on it, different people that have worked at the VA saying that upper management just, it was almost impossible to fire them. And these upper management were basically being just horrible to the people under them, but there was nothing that could change. And so I think that is probably the thing conservatives should be most happy about as far as a victory goes.
Hopefully, if this becomes law, they will actually be able to force incompetent people out. The unions tend to not like that very much. So I'm sure there will be fights if, in fact, it comes to that. But hopefully it just shapes everybody up and realizes they're actually there to do a very important job.
Yeah, and then the second part is, you know, it gives these veterans an alternative too whenever the mismanagement and incompetence at the VA is proving to be bad for them. It gives them that out that if they're not haven't received care in the next in 2 weeks, they get to find private care, which again, I think is a very important reform to make. Just reading the story and illustration of what a tumultuous summer it's been for the Obama administration. I mean, I'm just reading this now. And I mean, Eric Shinseki was still VA secretary just 2 months ago, if you think about it. And since then, we've had all these other sort of issues come up. So it's nice to see them at least addressing this one and trying to make some progress. Again, may not be the perfect step, but it's at least a step in the right direction.
All right. On to the bad martini now. And to no surprise, it's related to the Middle East. It usually is. There's more bad developments. We're not even really going to get into the fact that we've pulled out of our embassy in Libya, which suggests our policy there hasn't exactly lived up to what we were hoping to achieve. And when it comes to the Middle East, there was, of course, the very brief ceasefire over the weekend. That followed on the heels of John Kerry's attempt to broker a ceasefire, which the Israeli Security Cabinet rejected unanimously. And now we're finding out why. This is from Haaretz. It turns out that this is what John Kerry wanted to do. A, establish a humanitarian ceasefire, ending all hostilities in and from the Gaza Strip beginning in 48 hours. Build on the Cairo ceasefire understandings of November 2012, the last time these folks were at it. C, convene in Cairo at the invitation of Egypt within 48 hours to negotiate resolution of all issues necessary to achieve a sustainable ceasefire. That doesn't sound too bad. The third clause goes on to spell out in one way or another Hamas's demands, arrangements to secure the opening of crossings, allow the entry of goods and people, and ensure the social and economic livelihood of the Palestinian people living in Gaza, transfer of funds to Gaza for the payment of salaries for public employees, and address all security issues. Israel's demands were mentioned in the most general of terms in the phrase, address all security issues. Not one mention of demilitarizing the Gaza Strip of its rocket supply or advanced weapons, and not the dismantling of the terror tunnels. So doesn't seem too balanced there, Andrew.
First off, I think you need to give the Obama administration, John Kerry, some credit. They're not just bungling in the Middle East; they're bungling worldwide. So I just want to make sure you get that taken care of. But not a good weekend when it comes to trying to make our allies happy, make Israel happy. I mean, there's all the issues that you listed as far as not demilitarizing Gaza and Israel not getting what it wanted. But also what was included in these negotiations was increasing the involvement of Turkey and Qatar, which have been no friends of Israel and very supportive of Hamas. I mean, the Turkish prime minister last week was still standing by comments comparing Israel to Nazism. At the same time, reducing the role of Egypt in this entire process, which has actually been pretty strong on Hamas since their change in government about a year ago. And so if you're Israel and you're sort of looking at what John Kerry and the United States has brought to the table over the weekend, and it's along with sort of the confusion and the ceasefire not going as according to plan, you can't be too happy with that.
On to the crazy martini now, Andrew, and this is a great find by you. This is from Think Progress. Representative Michelle Bachmann, Republican Minnesota, has an unusual solution to the crisis of unaccompanied migrant children coming across America's southern border. Put them in camps and put them to work. KCTV 7 News in Kansas City reported last week that Bachmann proposed the idea of Americanization facilities where the children would be put to work to pay off the cost of their past, present, and future care. And it goes on the importance of learning how to work hard, knowing American history, speaking English, that sort of thing. And so, you know, Think Progress is a liberal site. They're outraged that Michelle Bachmann would suggest work camps for children coming across the border. Yeah, it turns out KCTV 7 is a parody. This entire thing was made up. It's like The Onion or The Daily Current or something like that. And Think Progress bought it hook, line, and sinker. So now they have the fully redacted version with lines through every word of this story on their website. Pretty funny.
Yeah, no, and I just love the visual. And if you're listening, you have to look it up. Literally, the entire article just has a strike through the entire thing. But, I mean, this isn't the first time the media has fallen for these types of stories that end up being parodies. I mean, on both sides of the aisle. I mean, every once in a while, you'll see a Sarah Palin, you know, startling headline, and then find out that that was also some satirical, you know, news organization. But it just sort of shows that Think Progress in these types, and the Washington Post and whatnot, are... just look at these stories. It's too good to pass up. They're salivating for a story to make Michelle Bachmann look ridiculous. Look, is these indoctrination camps for these immigrant children? What is she thinking? And without even maybe verifying if this A is true, if B, this news organization even exists. I mean, there is no KCTV7 in Kansas City. And just go and run with it. So it's pretty funny. And the Daily Coast, when I was actually reading about it, Daily Coast had posted this a few days earlier and didn't until yesterday. So they basically had it for like 4 days on their website and didn't until yesterday realize it was fake when Think Progress came forward and had to apologize for it. So it just sort of shows that they have these characters in their mind and they're kind of looking for, you know, affirmation rather than information. And just if they find something they can latch onto, they just run with it.
You got to do a little bit of background just to make sure, because, you know, you see some of these stories, whether you follow it on Facebook or Twitter, and you look at the headline and you're like, really? Really? And then when you can't find it on the lawmaker's website or something like that, you'd think that would come up in a couple verifiable, legitimate news sources. But when they end up just copying this stuff, these places that actually characterize themselves as legitimate news sources end up looking bad and making other people believe the wrong story. So,
yeah, and you just sort of see how in the perhaps the internet age, you know, these stories just kind of this almost this ripple effect where this, you know, one place saw it and then another place takes it and then they just kind of keep running to it. And and you kind of have to maybe, you know, go through six different links on different websites before you figure out where the original source is. And that again, that, oh, there is no KCTV7. So I guess maybe Michelle Bachmann got the last laugh in that.
That doesn't mean MSNBC is not going to get at least 2 to 3 hours out of this in their prime time, because I'm sure they'll come to the conclusion that she probably would want to do this anyway, so it's worth the ongoing discussion.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I mean, if you look at some of the people that have tweeted out this article, it's like, so what? I mean, she probably would. Yeah, exactly. That basically agreeing with that and sort of not having any remorse or shame and pushing a fake story. Again, it affirms their idea. So why not?
Exactly. Andrew, thanks for pinch hitting for Jim. We'll talk to you soon.
Take it easy. Thank you. Good to be here.
You bet. Andrew Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. Jim will be back on Tuesday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us then for the next 3 Martini Lunch.